The pasuk tells us we have in yesterday's parsha. Parsha Shemini has a lot of very fascinating things in it, but at the very end of the parsha, almost the last pasuk before Maftir, so we find the Torah saying as follows. It says, "Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I am Hashem your God, v'hiskadishtem v'hiyisem kedoshim, and you should sanctify yourselves, and thus you will be holy. V'hiskadishtem, you should sanctify yourselves, and you will be holy." And the pasuk is at the very end of the discussion of the laws of various laws of kashrus, and speaking here, the direct pasuk is speaking about not eating the sheretz haromes ha'aretz, various creatures which crawl on the ground. That's what the pasuk is directly referring to. But we find in the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Nun Gimel, which is source number 2 here on the sheet, towards the end of the first line, it says, "V'masnisa tana," and the Brisa states as follows, "V'hiskadishtem eilu mayim rishonim," that when the Torah says you should sanctify yourself, this is a reference to Mayim Rishonim. This is a reference to the water of Netilos Yadayim that a person washes himself with. V'hiyisem Kedoshim, and the second phrase, that you will be holy, Eu Mayim Achronim. This refers to the concept of washing Mayim Achronim. Now, we know that washing one's hands before and after bread is a din drabanan. But like we find in many places, there's a concept of asmachta, that even the Rabbanan, when they made up their various halachas for the reasons that they made them up, but they always try to find that there should be some basis in the Torah. So there should be some reference in the Torah. They weren't just making it up out of the blue. There should be some hint in the Torah. And therefore, this is what's called an asmachta, that they based it on this. In other words, it wasn't like they're making up their own things out of the blue, but rather, there's a basis for it, and this Gemara, Lechora, would be such an example that the Gemara is telling us that even though the laws of Mayim Rishonim, of one washing his hands before and after bread, Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Achronim, are Midrabanan, nevertheless, there is a vague reference to it in this pasuk. So as such, the basis that the Rabbanan had for this mitzvah of washing one's hands is in the parsha, so I figured that this would be an appropriate time to discuss one of the common kashrus related or brachos related issues that we find today, and that is the advent of mizonos bread. We know that there are various scenarios where it comes up that for convenience reasons a person wants to eat bread or something like bread, but does not want to have the obligation to wash and feel tzedayim or to say brachos hamazon, which I think is what stops a lot of people in general, you know, that they're going to have to bench. So as a means of convenience, there has been in the recent period of time, the last 30, 40 years, the advent of the mizonos bread and the mizonos roll. A person goes on an airline, you go on an overseas flight, and you will see that they serve meals on the various airlines. They'll serve you a kosher meal, and being that they have to give you something substantial because it's a long flight, so they have there a roll wrapped up like everything else that is stamped mizonos. And this is because of the fact that it's challenging on an airplane to wash until it's done. And I think that's the primary consideration in that context. You have other situations where it comes up. You have sometimes a person will be at a buffet, and they'll be serving some corned beef or something like that, and they want to give you a little something to put it on, and they have what appears to be bread sitting next to it, and you say, well, wait a second, I'm going to have to wash if I eat this. And the caterer or whoever his representative is quick to point out, no, you don't worry, this is mizonos bread. So the question is what is the basis for this, and you know, what is the validity for such a thing? So what I'd like to go through are the sources that we have, and all of this is really based in the Gemara. Today it's a very big issue. In the Gemara, there's not much reference to the whole idea of such a thing. In fact, we'll see in a minute the topic of what's called Pas HaBov V'Kisnin, which is what this directly relates to, is discussed only very briefly in the Gemara. But we find as follows: the starting point, if one is to research this carefully and properly, the starting point would be here in the Gemara Brachas Daf Mem Beis, which is source number 3. And the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says about 4 lines from the top, towards the end of the line, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda have asik leila grey. Rabbi Yehuda was involved with the marriage, the wedding of his son, Dei Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. There was a wedding taking place between the son of Rabbi Yehuda and the daughter of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. Aisu l'kamayu pas habav b'kisnin. So they brought, when they were preparing the feast, so they brought what the Gemara refers to as pas habav b'kisnin. Now, Pas HaBov V'Kisnin is very hard to translate literally, so for the time being, we're not going to translate it, we're just going to refer to it as Pas HaBov V'Kisnin. But we know bread is referred to in the Gemara as Pas, Tei, Tuf, that's the word that's found in the Gemara for bread. Okay, there is a certain designation of bread, or something in the bread family, which is called Pas HaBov V'Kisnin, and we'll soon see about it. But anyway, without going into further detail, it says in the Gemara that this entity called Pas HaBov V'Kisnin was brought in front of Rabbi Yehuda, and he told them, okay, great, you know, put that out, this is going to be for the meal, wonderful. So the Gemara says, Ki also, when the guests began to arrive, and when the meal was taking place, Shaminu Dekam Avarchi HaMotzi. So Rabbi Yehuda, to his surprise, heard that the people were making hamotzi on this special type of bread, which is called in the Gemara Pas HaBov V'Kisnin. Now, I guess for we can't go too far without some sort of working definition. So the basic concept of the Pas HaBov V'Kisnin is that it's in the bread family. It has flour and it has water, and it may even have the appearance of bread in certain ways. However, it's the type of item that is not eaten typically as bread, but it's eaten rather as some sort of snack. It wasn't regular bread. Regular bread a person doesn't typically eat as a snack. A person eats as part of a meal. But this Pas HaBov V'Kisnin is the type of bread that would be eaten in not necessarily as part of a formal meal, but rather as part of a snack. So the Gemara says that the people sitting at this meal began to recite the bracha of Hamotzi. Says the Gemara, so Rabbi Yehuda was concerned about this. Amar Luhu, my tzi the koshamana. He kept hearing everyone say Hamotzi. So he said, what's all this tzi? Hamotzi, what's everyone saying Hamotzi for? Dilma Hamotzi lech min haaretz kama varchiyu. Is it possible that the reason that what I'm hearing is people saying the bracha of Hamotzi? Is that possible? And if that's in fact what's happening, it's a mistake. They should not be reciting Hamotzi on such bread. So the Gemara says, Amri Le'en, they said to him, yes, in fact, this is true. I'll just go quickly. Titania Rav Muna, Omar Mishum, Rav Yehuda, Pas HaBov V'Kisnin, Mevarchan Aleh Hamotzi. Omar Shmuel, Ochach Rav Muna. So the Gemara says that, yes, in fact, that's true, because we have a tradition that on such bread, you say Hamotzi. Omar Luhu, so Rav Yehuda responded emphatically, and he said, "Ein halacha k'rav muna itma." That you got it wrong. The halacha is not that way. Okay, the halacha is not that way. You don't say hamotzi on such a thing. So, "Ein halacha k'rav muna itma." That's what he said to them. So the Gemara says, "Well, wait a minute. V'amaru da'amra mishmei b'Shmuel lachmonios ma'arben b'hen u'mevarchan alein hamotzi." So they challenged Rabbi Yehuda, and they said, what are you talking about? How can you say that? You are the one who told us that lachmanios, now lachmanios today, and if you go in Eretz Yisrael, lachmanios refer to small rolls. But in the Gemara, it's not exactly what they're referring to, but rather, it is a reference to some sort of bread that had also some sweet ingredients in it. And they said to him, "So how you yourself told us that on bread like this you say Hamotzi?" So to which Rabbi Yehuda responded, and he said, "Shani Hasam." He said, "What I said doesn't apply in this scenario, because when did I say that? That is where the kavasu dosei alayu. That is only where a person established that as the focal point of his meal, where he based his whole meal on that type of bread." But in a case where the person did not make that the central part of his meal, he did not base his meal around this type of bread, then you would not say hamotzi. In other words, what comes out from this Gemara is that in addition to regular bread, on regular bread there is no question that a person washes their hands and feels yadayim, and recites the Birchas HaMazon at the end, provided that the person had a kezayis, at the minimum a kezayis of bread. That there is no question, and that is true even if the person ate the bread alone. That would be true even if the person ate the bread as a snack. That's by regular bread. It's cut and dry, no question about it. However, when it comes to what the Gemara calls pas habav b'kisnin, when it comes to this special bread, which is bread that was baked with certain, apparently, in such a manner that it was not eaten as regular bread, it was not used in the same context as regular bread, but rather it was eaten as it was made to be eaten as some sort of snack. So that type of bread, the halacha is as follows: if a person would just eat it in and of itself, the person would say the bracha borei min hazonos. That would be the bracha that would be recited, because the bracha of hamotzi was only established for bread that serves as the staple of a meal, bread that has the chashivus, that has the status, that this is going to be the in the old days, until very recent times, when today Baruch Hashem there's a certain ashirus, there's a certain affluence in our society, and therefore today a person can eat very little bread during the week, very small amounts of bread. We have other things that we could eat. We have fish, we have chicken, we have meat, we have cheese, all kinds of things that we could eat. And today we even have many people on diets that they're looking not to eat bread, etc. But in the old times, it was not that way, and people had only minimal amounts of these items, and thus bread was the central point of the meal. And this is, in general, the understanding for why a person, when eating bread, recites only the bracha of hamotzi and no other bracha. Yesterday, for example, a person sat down to eat the Shabbos meal. It could have been an extensive meal, lavish meal, with all kinds of different items. Yet, you only said the bracha of hamotzi. You don't say a bracha on fish, you don't say a bracha on chopped liver, you don't say a bracha on shalot, you don't say a bracha on chicken. Right? Why not? Because of the fact that all of those things are considered secondary to the bread. And once you said the bracha on the bread, so therefore everything that's secondary to it goes without a bracha. Much in the same way that if a person smeared butter or cream cheese on bread, so everybody understands you would not say the bracha on the butter, because of the fact that the butter is just enhancing the bread. The bread is the ikkar, right? So too, anything that a person eats at a bread meal has that status as well. And therefore, we recite only the bracha of hamotzi. Now you'll say in our times that's very strange, because we the bread that a person eats is minimal. Even at a Shabbos meal, a person, you know, especially someone who's watching their diet, could eat only just the bare minimum piece of challah and indulge in everything else. So you'll say, so the bread wasn't the ikkar, but nevertheless, since this is the way it always was throughout the generations, so it remains that way even today. And therefore we say the bracha with the concept that the bread remains the main part of the meal. So the halacha reflects this in this area as well. That being the case, the bracha of hamotzi, the significant bracha of hamotzi, lechem ha'aretz, was only given to bread that serves that role. But no pun intended. That fits into that type of scheme. However, if a person is going to eat bread that cannot be used that way because of the fact that this bread is not made as typical bread, but rather it's made somewhat differently, which we'll soon see exactly what it means that it was made differently. That type of bread the person typically would not say the bracha hamotzi, the person will say the bracha bori minei mizonos on such bread, unless, says Rabbi Yehuda, unless a person was koveya suda, unless a person made that the basis of that they established a meal around that bread, which we'll see also what that means. That they established that bread as part of the meal, then they would say hamotzi. But otherwise, they would say the bracha bari minim zonos, and this is the halacha that we'll soon see that's in the Shulchan Aruch. This is the one source that we find in the Gemara for this concept. Now, what then, what needs to be considered is what is considered kisnin. What is this that the Gemara is referring to? In other words, this is obviously very important, the matter to get to the bottom of. What? In other words, on regular bread, there's no question. You say hamotzi. But on this bread that's not made to have the typical use of bread, that's not eaten in the same way, that you say mizonos on, what constitutes such a bread? So, just to, in the interest of saving time, there are three opinions in the Rishonim that are brought down in translation of Pas Habav Kisnin, which is why I did not translate the words literally at the outset. And the three opinions are as follows. The first, if you turn here, excuse me, page 4A, they have it marked on 4A, page 132 from the, this is the page of the Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch with the Mishnah Berurah. The next one, 4B, I apologize, 4B, okay? Siv Zion says, Pas Habav Kisnin, the Shulchan Aruch says, what does it mean? So what does the word kisnin mean? So essentially there are two definitions of the word kisnin, two translations which give rise to three interpretations of the Gemara. The first interpretation holds that kisnin comes from the word kiss. The word kiss means a pocket, okay? That the bread has a pocket. Like today we have pita bread, which is baked in such a manner that it has a pocket, right? So it was bread that had a pocket. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the first opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbeinu Hananel, that's quoted in the commentary of Rabbeinu Yonah on the Gemara in Brachas. So he says as follows: the Yesh Mefarshim Pas Ha'Osu Kamin Kisim Shemamalan Osam Tvasho Sukar VeEgozim Shkedim VeTavim. That this would refer to a bread which is made with pockets, and the pockets are filled with various types of fruit, with almonds or nuts, or other sugar, honey, different types of things, and they're baked together in loosely, with somewhat of an analogy to our times, that would be similar to what we consider like a pie. In other words, if you had an apple pie, so even though it's not bread that is baked with a pocket, but nevertheless the crust of the pie is very similar to bread, right? It's bread, it's mainly flour and water, but along with that, you put in all kinds of other stuff. So the flour and the water in and of itself should bring upon the requirement of saying Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, because that's the bracha on bread, right? That's the standard bracha on bread. However, because there are fruits inserted in this pie, so therefore the pie obviously is not eaten as bread. Nobody's going to eat a salami sandwich with a piece of pie, right? They take two pieces of pie and put some salami in between, or peanut butter. Obviously, that would be absolutely unacceptable to anybody. And therefore, that type of item is not considered bread, and on that you say mizonos. And on that you say mizonos. Okay, that's the first opinion. The second opinion, is the opinion of the Rambam, which very often is the Svarim follow the opinion of the Rambam, although we'll see here it may be different. The Rambam says that the Eish Omer Shehu Isa She'iruva Dvash O Shemen O Cholov O Mine Tavlin V'Ocho. This opinion is going to be central to the discussion of mizonos bread. This opinion holds, this is the Rambam's opinion, that the Rambam holds that kisnin also means pockets. But it's not pockets in the same way as the first opinion. It doesn't mean that you fill the pockets with nuts or fruits or things like that. But rather, what it means is that the bread was baked with more ingredients than just flour and water. That in addition to the flour and the water, they also put in some oil, or they put in some honey, or they put in some milk, or they put in some other types of spices, and they baked it together. This is more comparable to what we have today as cake. Okay, a cake, which again starts off, you have to understand, everybody assumes that on a cake you say Bracha Bar Minim Zonos, everybody knows that. But the source for that in the Gemara is unclear. There is no Gemara that says such a thing. The fact that we say the Bracha Bar Minim Zonos on cake is because cake fits, in the Rambam's view, the definition of Hasabah V'Kisnin. When the Gemara said that this special bread is not subject to the bracha of Hamotzi, but rather to the bracha of Bar Minim Zonos, so the Rambam said, what is this special bread? So he described something very similar to what we call cake. Okay, in other words, that it's not just flour and water. That cake, when it's baked, could, you know, in a loaf or whatever, could also have a vague resemblance of bread, but because of the fact that mixed in there is also, let's say, in a chocolate cake. So you put in chocolate or whatever, cocoa and sugar and all kinds of things. So therefore, that makes it that these other ingredients make it that it's not, because it has these other ingredients, you're not going to eat it as bread. And thus, that it takes upon itself the bracha of Bari Minim Zonos. Okay, now this would be true. Now, chocolate cake is a very strong example of such an item, because the chocolate is dominant and everybody eats it and knows right away this is cake and not bread. However, the Shulchan Aruch is not limiting itself to that. The Shulchan Aruch is saying that according to the Rambam, as long as the ingredients were not flour and water alone, but rather other things were mixed in, so that would constitute Pasah B'Kisnin and put it in the category of Bar Minim Zonos. And that being the case, there are many who say that if in addition to water, you put in some other ingredient, let's say fruit juice, you put in apple juice into this dough. So even though a chocolate cake is clearly, it has a different appearance, and when you eat it, it's a very strong taste of chocolate. But even if it didn't go to that extreme, even if it was just the question that when you made the dough, you mixed in more ingredients than simply flour and water, and those ingredients in some way affected the taste of this item to the extent that you would not typically eat this with a meal, so that also would qualify for the bracha Bari Minim Zonos. And the proponents of the Mizonos bread base themselves on this opinion, which we'll soon see, but just it's important to pay attention to this opinion. Now, it happens to be that within this opinion, there is a very, very important machlokas. And there's a machlokas here between the Mechaber, between Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, who is the great authority, but particularly amongst Sephardic Jews, and the Ramah, Rabbi Moshe Isserles, whose commentaries to the Shulchan Aruch are followed by the Ashkenazic Jews. And the Ramah says here in the parentheses as follows. So, excuse me, right before that, two lines from the end of the quote in the Shulchan Aruch, he says that when do you say Mizonos v'hu she'yeh tam taruvas ha'meperos nikar v'isa, that this would be applicable as long as when you eat this item, you could tell that it doesn't taste exactly like bread. As long as it is nikar, as long as when you eat this, you can see right away, this was not made the same way. For example, if you have a piece of egg matzah, the egg matzah is made with fruit juice. The second you eat it, you see right away, this is not the same thing as regular matzah. You could taste it, you could tell, excuse me, you could tell from eating it that there's something else in it. So according to the opinion of the Mechaber of Yosef Karo, that is needed, and as such, the bracha on egg matzah, assuming the person was just taking a piece of egg matzah as a snack, would be Bar Minim Zonos, because of the fact, according to this opinion, because of the fact that it is nicker, it is apparent to a person who eats it, that there is something in here that is not in the typical bread, and that puts it into a different category. Okay, that is the first opinion. However, the Ramah comes along, and the Ramah argues somewhat with what the Machaber said, which is very relevant to us. The Ramah says, V'yesh omrim shezen nikra pas gomer. The Ramah says, no, that wouldn't be good enough. The fact that you could tell that something else is in it is not enough. Elo imkein yesh bahem harbe tavlin o dvash. Unless it has a large amount of outside ingredients, and it continues on to the next page, that it would seem to the person that's eating it that these other items are the ikar, that these other items are the main, these other ingredients are the dominant ingredients. In other words, according to the Mechaber, according to Rabbi Yosef Karo, the halacha would be that if dough was baked with, if you put in flour and water and let's say some fruit juice, and not enough fruit juice that it was that when you ate it, you would still say, oh, this tastes more like bread than anything else. But I can discern, I can pick up the fact that there's something else in here. It's not just bread and water. That's enough to say the bracha mezonos. That is the opinion of the Mechaber. However, the Ramah, again, these are both interpretations of the Rambam Shita. The Ramah says that's not good enough. The Ramah says it's not enough that you can discern, that you can tell that there's something else in it, but it has to be that it's the dominant taste. It has to be that it's dominant in the thing that's eating. In other words, the question, if you want to put it in acute terms, using the phrases from the Gemara, the machlokas is, does the fruit juice have to be nicker or ikker? Does it have to be just that it's nicker, meaning that you could determine, you could discern that it's in there, or does it have to be the ikker, meaning that when you eat this, you say, oh, this thing is primarily comprised of fruit juice. So these are the two opinions which would result probably in a machlokas between the practice of Ashkenazim and Sephardic Jews, which we'll see. So this is the second opinion. This is the opinion of the Rambam of what constitutes Pasuk of a Kisnin. And the third opinion, which we have here on page 4c, continuing along, is that the third opinion is the opinion of one of the Gaonim, Rav Hai Gaon, which is quoted in the Sefer HaAruch, that he says that the word kisnin does not mean pockets from the word kiss, but rather comes from the word koses. Koses means to chew. That it refers to bread that a person has to chew very hard, because you have to chew it a lot because it's very hard. It's a very hard item. It's made as a very hard piece of bread or whatever, and you have to chew it a lot. It's not soft like the bread that we eat. And such an item would be considered bari mina mezonos. That is the opinion of Rav Hai Gaon. A striking example of this would be matzah. Right, because matzah, the way we have it, especially in Pesach, right, the matzah, the hand matzah is very hard, and you have to chew it a lot in order to eat it. It's not in any way soft like bread. Even the machine matzah is not soft like bread. But other examples of this would be pretzels, would be such an example, right? Where you have, it's nobody, pretzels are made flour and water essentially, but the difference between that and bread, the reason why a pretzel, even if you made a long pretzel, you would not consider it like bread, is because of the fact that it's too hard. It's too hard. It doesn't lend itself. It doesn't have that softness that bread has. It doesn't, and therefore it's not as versatile when you're eating food with it. And thus, the third sheet holds that puts it into a different category. So to summarize, there are three opinions. The three opinions of what is considered in the special category of bari mina mezonos is, in other words, it's in the bread family. But you would recite bari mina mezonos. Opinion number one is something that's baked like a pie, meaning that the bread is made with a pocket and it's filled in, or even without a pocket, a crust, but you filled it in with other items you have in there, whole items not mixed into the fabric of the bread. There are other items that are you know, independent of the bread that happen to be baked together, like in a pie. That's opinion number one. Opinion number two is that it refers to other ingredients which are baked into the bread, it's part of the composition of the bread. It's in the dough, it's a part of the bread, however it affects the taste of the bread, similar to cake. And the third opinion is that it's the type of bread that's made. It's made like bread in the sense that it's flour and water, but because of the fact that it's very hard and it requires a great deal of chewing, it's not easy to just swallow, so that puts it out of the category of bread. Any one of these things we could all readily see would not be, the reason why it would be treated differently as bread is because you would not base a meal around any of these things. Right? In other words, each one in its own right, it has a drawback, right? Either because the taste makes it, like we said before, nobody's going to eat a salami sandwich putting salami between two pieces of pie, or between two pieces of cake, right? Or between two pieces of matzah. Unless it's Pesach, because of the fact that it's hard to eat it that way, and therefore this takes it out of the category of bread. Now, yeah, Chris.
Our regular bread today also has eggs, sugar.
Yeah, right. So the regular bread has other ingredients in it, but none of those things are. So we'll see. But the fact of the matter is that the dominant element is as flour and water, and it could be eaten together with other items. Even people who make raisin bread for Rosh Hashanah and some things like that, but it's just a few a smattering of some raisins in the bread, and therefore the bracha remains hamotzi.
Honey and challah, that's right.
Or if you had the minhag this Be'er Shabbos, you put a key in the challah, that would be something else. But anyway, what's that? Okay, so hold on. So just let, in the interest of, I gotta make a time here. So hold on. So the thing is like this. So according to these opinions, it comes out. So we have three different opinions. Now, the way that Beis Yosef, in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, in his commentary to the Torah, which is what this is based on, he interprets that these three opinions are exclusive of each other. That they don't all agree that this one holds this and not that. However, the halacha that we follow, the Shulchan Aruch here rules, the halacha kedivrei kulam, the halacha follows all three opinions. Meaning that whichever one it is, you don't say hamotzi. Whichever one it is. So whether it's a pretzel, in other words, according to before the Shulchan Aruch was written, the people who held the third opinion, that it refers to pretzels, would have said hamotzi on cake. And people, right, because they would say, so what? So what is cake? Where's it saying the Gemara cake, you say Mizonos? It doesn't say it anywhere. Right? We all think that there's some Gemara that says Tana Rabbana and Al cake, Omrim, Barmini, Mizonos. Right? But there is no such Gemara like that. Right? So therefore, where do you find such a thing? Right? So the idea is that according to one opinion, this is Pasa above the Kisser. Okay? But the pretzel opinion does not agree with that. The cake opinion would have said Hamotzi on pretzels. The pretzel opinion would have said Hamotzi on pie. But because when Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, for a reason that I want to go into, he said that even though these three opinions are exclusive of each other, nevertheless, the halacha follows all of them. And therefore, we follow all three opinions, and anything that fits any of the above-mentioned criteria takes it out of Hamotzi and makes it Mizonos. This being the case, so the advent of Mizonos bread, which came about because of convenience that was called for in certain situations, so the idea was, well, there is a concept in the halacha, not every bread do you say Hamotzi on. Here you have it. Pasa above the kisnin. If you can get it into one of these three categories, so then you won't have to say Hamotzi. So an enterprising person who is looking to solve problems for people and try to, in the world of convenience, where everyone's busy and we try to make it that, you could have everything done in even according to the halacha in a way that's workable. So some enterprising baker came up with the idea that, hey, the Shulchan Aruch ruled that we follow all three opinions. Which means that any one of these would qualify for Mizonos. So what I will do is, I will take bread, flour and water, and put in fruit juice. And as such, it'll look like bread. It'll be, it won't be so strong of a taste like cake,
right? If we would have made it like cakes, it would not serve the purpose, because cake is so sweet, you can't eat it with a piece of chicken. You can't eat it with a piece of pastrami. You just can't. But this, whoever this enterprising person was, figured that, well, we don't have to go to such an extreme. Let's just make it with ingredients other than flour and water, and make it that it's discernible. That you have this other ingredient, and that would make it that you don't have to say hamotzi. And that would make it that you don't have to say hamotzi. That would be a clever solution working within the system, working within the Shulchan Aruch. He's not cheating. If you could come up with such an item, then that would put you clearly in the category, it would seem, of saying bar minyan zonos, and therefore a person sitting on an airplane where it's very challenging to wash and tilus yadayim for a number of reasons, so that the person would have no problem, because I don't have to wash my hands, this is cake. Or it's not cake, whatever, it's pasabah v'kisnin. It's halakhically not the type of bread you have to wash for. And you would not have to say hamotzi, you would not say birchas hamazon either. And not just in that scenario, other scenarios, you can have it where it's a matter of convenience, that a person needs the convenience, not conducive to washing the tilus yadayim, or perhaps the person doesn't have the time to say the birchas hamazon, so we will go ahead and create such an item, and that will work within the halal. Now, the problem, that's the concept. Now, it's a very brilliant idea, if you can pull it off. If you could pull it off, then it would work. It would seem that it would work. However, the problems with this idea are as follows. The problems are that, first and foremost, and this would pertain mainly to Ashkenazi Jews, that we saw that within the opinion of the Rambam, which is what they're going to base this whole enterprise on, they're going to make mizonos bread saying, well, the Rambam told us that if you have other items in the dough, and you can tell that the dough is made with it's not just flour and water, it's not just typical bread, but rather there's something else in there, then that's good enough to make it mizonos. So we saw that a moment ago, that that's not so simple. That depends on the interpretation of the Rambam of the Mechaber versus the interpretation of the Rambam of the Ramah. The Mechaber says that as long as it's nicker, as long as you can tell that this is not the same as regular bread, that would be good enough. Right? Which would mean that if you made a mizonos roll in such a manner that it had in it fruit juice, and a person who ate it could tell that this is not the typical roll, right? But still, it's not sweet enough that it would stop a person from eating it with other items. In other words, I could put tuna fish in this because it's still enough like regular bread that I feel comfortable eating it with tuna fish. It's not like an extreme type of thing like cake. But yet, it qualifies because a person who tastes it can see that there's something in here that is different than the regular bread. So according to the Mechaber, that would seem that it should be good enough. However, the Ramah, who is the rabbi of the Ashkenazi community, the Ramah said that that's not good enough. The Ramah said that it has to be that it's dominant. It has to be that it's the dominant taste. It has to be that it's so sweet or so that it's like the majority ingredient. Now, if a person ever, if you've ever had the experience of eating one of these rolls, you will see that they can't make it that way. Because if they make it that way, it's going to defeat the purpose. You're not going to be able to eat what you want. You can't put tuna fish in. So if it's so sweet, you wouldn't be comfortable putting tuna fish in. You wouldn't be comfortable putting a piece of pastrami in. So therefore, one of the arguments that is made is that according to at least for Ashkenazi Jews who follow the opinion of the Ramah, the mizonos designation of a mizonos roll would not fit, because what the Rambam said in the Ramah's interpretation of the Rambam would not qualify. That is what many people have complained about the mizonos bread. Now, the people who are the advocates of mizonos bread have an answer to this. Okay, they're not totally, this is not a one-sided argument, there are arguments both ways. The advocates of the mizonos bread say, they base themselves on a psak, which is found not in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's found in the Marsham, one of the great Gedolim of the 18th century, the late 19th century, that the Marsham said that whatever the Mechaber and Ramah said is only speaking when there's more water than fruit juice. However, if there, in other words, if you make, because the bread is typically flour and water. So if there's flour and water, and you say, but it's still not going to be bread, then you have to start playing games and say, well, even though it's made in the same basic way that bread is made, but because it has other things, so you don't say hamotzi. However, let's say it was not made the way regular bread is made. It was made with flour and fruit juice mainly, and a little water only. So the Marsham, there are those who claim that it's unclear if one looks in the Marsham inside, it's not 100% clear. It's a hotly contested point, but there are many who claim that the Marsham ruled that in such a case this argument is irrelevant, and if it was mainly fruit juice and water, that's enough. You could say that's enough to take it out of the category of hamotzi, and therefore a person who made a mizonos roll would satisfy the requirements even for an Ashkenazi Jew, because of the fact that the Ramah wasn't talking about this. The Ramah was talking where it's mainly water, but if it's mainly fruit juice, then it's different. This is the argument that's made. Now, to be honest, it's very unclear if one looks in the Mishnah. It's very unclear if he really meant to say that. Number one, but number two, his opinion is not accepted by many, many great Achronim. In other words, amongst the poskim, his opinion is relatively speaking a das yachid. In other words, most people don't make the distinction that he made, and therefore, as such, according to many, it would not qualify as the bracha barim in mizonos because of the fact that the dominant taste is not the taste of different than bread. If it were, you would not be able to use it for bread, right? So therefore, on this basis, there are many who say that the mizonos bread really should not be considered as such because certainly for Ashkenazim it does not fit the bill. That's what is said by many people. However, I'll just end off quickly. There is a second opinion, a second consideration here, which puts all of this into very great question. And if we go back to page 4a, we see here that we have a remarkable halacha. That if you recall when we read the Gemara at the beginning of the shir, so the Gemara said that on Tas Habav B'Kisnin that the Rabbi Yehuda said that the only time you say Hamotzi is if a person was Koveya Suda, if a person established it as the center of his meal. But if he just ate it Stam, then he would say Mizonos. But what comes out from the Gemara is that if he ate it as part of a meal, if he was Koveya Suda, so then he would say Hamotzi, even if it fit these requirements. In other words, the halacha is, believe it or not, that if a person sat down and made a whole meal out of cake, you would have to wash until it's a dime, say Hamotzi, and say Berch Samazon, even though all you ate was cake. But if that was, now nobody does that, generally speaking, right? No, it's not acceptable to do such a thing. But if a person ate, let's say, a whole sheet cake, and that was his lunch, okay, so that really a person tuned into the halacha would have had to wash until he died because of the fact that he's Toveya Suda. We don't typically do that. Now by breakfast maybe you'll say, there are those who want to say that a person has a Danish like you have over here, so maybe that's considered Toveya Suda, but generally not held to be that way. Pizza is a different discussion, it'll be a different share. Pizza is a different discussion. Pizza is even worse because pizza, the other ingredients are things that you eat as part of a meal.
That's right.
In other words, that's why pizza could be considered in a different category. But we're talking here where the other ingredients are sweet. In other words, a pizza is filled with cheese and sauce, and if you put meat in, like the guy put, all kinds of other things, so that's the type of thing that you could eat as a meal. But the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. The Shulchan Aruch says here in Sivvav that Tasa Bob Kissin Mabarak Le Barmin Mizonos Lachra Brach Achim and Shoals, that a person says Mizonos and the Brach Al Amichya. However, Vim Ocho Mimenu Shir Shacher Magilum Gvoa Love. However, if a person eats the amount that somebody else establishes as a meal, then you have to say Hamotzi. So I'm just going to cut it short. Then you have to say Hamotzi. The Mishnah Berurah quotes Posuk, what is the cause of Kaveh Suda? So there are two definitions, and this is very important. One definition of Kaveh Suda is what we just said, that all you ate was this type of thing. So if you ate an entire sheep cake, you would have to say Birch Hamazon at the end. You would have to wash, if you knew you were going to do it, you'd have to wash the Kilsi Dayim in advance and say Hamotzi on it because of the fact that this is your meal. So if this is your meal, it doesn't matter what it's typically eaten for. In this case, this is your meal. However, there is another definition of Kaveh Suda. The other definition of Kaveh Suda, which is brought in the Mishnah Berurah, is even if it's not your entire meal, but you eat as much of it as you would eat bread at a regular meal, that's also considered Kaveh Suda. Which means that, let's say, yesterday's Shabbos meal, a person had only one or two pieces of challah. Okay, but he had many other things. But he ate the challah and he said hamotzi because the challah was a part of his meal, no doubt. So the amount of bread that is typically eaten at a meal, if you ate that amount of kasabog and kisnin, that would be considered koveya suda. That would be considered that you made this your meal, and then you would have to say hamotzi. So on this basis, there is a great deal to consider when it comes to the mizonos bread. Because if a person has the mizonos, what did they make it for? The person who came up with this concept made it so that it should substitute for bread. So when you sit on an airplane and they give you the meal and it has a roll, so that mizonos roll is stamped mizonos on it, but that roll is the type of thing that you're eating as the bread of your meal. In other words, why is it there? Because they would have liked to give you a regular roll, but they realized that that's going to be challenging on an airplane. So instead, they gave you the next best thing, which is mizonos roll. But you're eating that mizonos roll in the same way that you would have eaten bread. So according to the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, that should still require a person to wash the Kilos Yadayim and say Hamotzi and Birch Hamazon. This is the argument. Now, to be fair, the people that hold the other way counter based on a comment that's found in the Chuvas of Moshe Feinstein, even though he, I don't believe, was an advocate in Mizonos roles, but he was intellectually honest, and he said that it is possible that in order to fit what the Shulchan Aruch says, it has to be that you would have eaten the same amount as you would have eaten bread at a regular meal. Now, when the airline gives you this little roll, they don't give you three of them. Maybe that's for other reasons, but they don't give you. In other words, you'd be sitting in your house and you would be eating bread at a meal. You would have eaten more bread than that. So therefore, this roll may not be enough. In other words, because you say, well, I'm eating it as bread, but wait a second, but eating it as bread means, in the interpretation of Moshe Feinstein, means that you're eating as much of it as you would have eaten bread at a regular meal, but you're not. You're not, because you would have eaten more, but they didn't give you so much. All they gave you was this little roll. So therefore, that's the counter-argument. The counter-argument is that this thing, it's enough that it makes the meal, that it's not a nothing, you know, that the meal at least registers in your stomach, that you feel satisfied to some degree. However, it may not fit the strict criteria of Shulchan Aruch. These are the two sides of the story. It happens to be that almost every kashrus agency today, if you look in the OU's website, or Star K, everybody says that the OU, which certifies a lot of the airline meals, a number of years ago adopted the policy that they do not approve of mizonos bread. That based on the reasons that we gave, that they hold that one has to say hamotzi on such bread, and therefore even though you will find sometimes, which I can't fully explain why this is, that you will get an airline meal that has an OU on it with a roll that says mizonos, but the rabbinic board of the OU clearly unanimously feels that you should not say mizonos on that, that you should wash and say hamotzi on that. Okay. However, I can't say, there are people that hold the other way. There are people hold the other way. The consensus today, most rabbinic authorities today are not in favor of it, unless it was eaten completely as a snack. So for example, what some people say is that if you got that roll with the airline meal, what you could do is eat the meal, say the bracha, don't eat the roll, hold on to the roll. Eat the meal, say a bracha achrona, and then 10 minutes later, eat the roll. Because then you're eating the roll as a snack, and if you eat that, not part of your meal anymore. So therefore, you, in a certain sense, you accomplish the same goal because now you feel satiated, but you did not eat it as part of a meal, so you sidestep the problem of Kaveya Suda. What about the Ramah's issue, that the Ramah said that it has to be dominant and it's not dominant, so that you didn't avoid. However, for that, maybe you could rely on the Marsham's Psak if it was a situation of great need. So it's hard to know for sure, but what I could tell you is that in a typical situation, the consensus of the current thinking is that in most scenarios where a person is served what is called mazonos bread, really a person would have to wash until he dies and say hamotzi and drip some mazon on it. And most rabbis will tell you that, even though we have a rule suffered brachos l'hakel, but they will tell you that this is not a sin, and therefore you'll say, why should I say drip some mazon, which is four brachos? If there's a doubt, they will tell you there is no doubt, you have to do it. However, it's not 100% clear, so one could ask their local Orthodox rabbi for his opinion.